show was the A-Team. And what was the big phrase at the end of the day? I love it when a plan comes together. And I really do. Are they cute or what? I'll explain that in a moment. You know, how many do you remember last week when Mags came up here? And what I love is it's not my plan, by the way. It's God's plan. And last week, do you remember what Mags's first... He gave us 5 trends. Do you remember what the first one was? No? That's okay. Technology. I had the privilege on Wednesday of sitting down with the youth group and Kim and talked about technology. I'm a journalist, so build websites, do cell phone ministry, do all kinds of fun stuff. And Kim told me about very quickly, she was like, oh yeah, the youth are doing Instagram. We're doing 30-day Instagram. Youth know what this is. Mrs. Mackey, can you come up here, please? Okay, these people, the young people, we're going to dismiss you in a moment. This is Austrian chocolate. That's all I'm saying to the young people.
You want me to try it?
Oh, Mrs. Mackey.
I'm willing to help you out.
You, between now and the end of February, you are the encourager. Remind them. You know, the flavors.
Massage.
Oh, eat it. Enjoy it. You know, don't share it.
Okay. Hang on to it.
Don't ask John where his is. Okay, young people? When you're discouraged, Mrs. Mackey will remind you of the aroma, of the flavor. Okay? All right? I'd like the young people to stand up real quickly. Kim as well, please. And we'll dismiss you. Come on. Where are you guys? Some of them aren't here. You all know all of them. Okay? These have been set a challenge, a missional challenge. That's all I'm saying. Okay? That's all I'm saying. Between now and the end of February, you have to figure out, you have to follow them and do what I'm going to ask you to do at the end of the service, because they are your missionaries here, okay? They will be using technology. So, let's pray quickly. Father, you have given us technology. You have given us wisdom. You have given us many blessings. You have given us the youth. I cannot reach their youth and their generation. They can. As this group goes out, bless them, challenge them, help them, protect them. Help us to come alongside them. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So, that's all I say. I'm really excited, by the way. So this is my lovely wife. This is my lovely son, 4-year-old Luke, not quite 4-year-old. If you've ever tried to capture a 4-year-old still long enough to just push that little trigger button, you know it took us 2 years to get this picture. Miss him a lot, you know? Saw a little boy standing in the back there with his mummy yesterday, and little boy's cousin, how old's Jude? 8. You know, they were running around. You know, it was sort of my family, my second family, and I missed them yesterday. It's tough being away. I work for TWR, Trans World Radio. We broadcast in 230 languages and dialects. TWR exists to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Our global reach engages millions in more than 160 nations with biblical truth. For nearly 60 years, God has enabled TWR to lead people from doubt to decision and then to discipleship. Okay, we reach the world for Christ. This is what we do. TWR at a glance. Yep. 16, 18 primary locations. There's TWR people here. I'm not going to look at them because I'm going to get it wrong. 2,000 FM transmitters, 160 languages, and all these people in all these places in the world. You can say TWR reaches 1 billion people every month. Okay? But the task is not done. We're going to fly through some things, and then we're going to sort of, you know, it's like taking your kids on a trip They're all excited to go, and then you get into the traffic jam just as you get on the other side, and you're just about to see Grandma or the ice cream shop. The established church, 48%. The formative church is 11%. The unreached, 41%. There's estimated 7.1 billion people in the world. This, by the way, is all based on what Mags talked about. 86% of the unreached people are in the 1040 window. But you know, there's a huge yellow group up there. And my wife is from a yellow nation. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, the remaining task, there is, on average, this is a good accurate number. There's 630,000 missionaries out there. Okay? Half of them are from new sending agencies, and half of them are from the traditional sending agencies like Canada and sending nations. Ministry range is, they say, you will reach about 500 people and bring them to Christ, okay, during your ministry time. So there's a combined ministry range of 315,000 people. My wife's an actuary, by the way. I'm a journalist. Facts and figures, lots of color and generality. She's not here to... So, the remaining task to do of this 315 is basically, we've got 2.9 billion people to reach out there. That's the unreached church, okay? Those who've not heard Christ, zip, zero, zilch, heard nothing. Okay, so you take those two numbers, you divide them, and you come up with 9.3. In theory, in 9.5 years... we'll reach the unreached. Christ will come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Set your budget for another 9 years. Then you're unemployed, but that's okay. You can close it. Do it all. Pack up the church. Done. Paint it up. Don't do any major refurbishment. Invest your money. Really? Hang on a second here. Wait a minute. All right. Do we live in a perfect world? No, we don't. Let me explain something to you. Do you remember I said about a yellow nation? That's Austria. There's a gentleman in my church, Quellenstrasse, Freshwater Street, the water street. It's where all the water that came into Vienna came into. He's been a missionary. He's about ready to retire. He will retire at the age of 65. He will have invested 40 years. Into Austria. I asked him, so, 40 years. Amazing, huh? Pretty cool. Had a wonderful time. Yeah, it's been great. Lord's done some phenomenal things. How many people have you brought to Christ? Husband and wife. She sat on one side of the table, he sat on the other. She was sitting on the other side of the table going, so they sat there. They didn't have a marital argument. They had a discussion. Ein, zwei, drei, vier, so, so und so, da, die, da, ma, zwei. Na, vielleicht drei. Vielleicht zweieinhalb, 2.5. 40 years. 40 years. Do you know how rare my wife is? There's 8 million people in Austria. There is 0.03% Christians. There are more churches in London. You can take the top 5 churches in London, put them together, and you have more Christians in this land, in this city, than I have in my wife's home nation. Are we really going to pull this off in 9.3 years? You know how hard it is for those kids that we sent out downstairs to reach their people? Ask a teacher. We have created and we are raising a generation of skeptics. Okay? The hardest task that that youth group has when they try and pull people and do their missional challenge is they will be sniffed out. I can guarantee you they'll find out about that chocolate. You know what their goal is? Don't tell them I told you. By the end of February, they are to increase their youth group by one person. Do you think they can do it? How many optimists we got in here? How many pessimists? Mrs. Mackey, would you like to counter what your husband... Was he an optimist or is he a pessimist? Is he? I'm a pessimist. I am. I'd love to see how they pull this one off. And by the way, we as TWO, we're going to watch this. I haven't told them that yet. Because this is the new mission field, the technology. How are we going to pull it off? Okay? How are we going to pull it off? I've seen ministries like this fail, but I actually think they're onto something. I don't know how they're going to pull it off. Okay? Of these missionaries, of this 300 and... What's happened here? Okay, so half of them are from traditional sending agents, nations, like Canada, Germany, United States, Australia, Singapore. When my aunts went out a few years ago, the average life expectancy of the missionary was actually from recruitment to retirement. So 40 years, 45 years. How long did you serve, Aunt Janet? 38 years. Okay. Currently, the average is 25 years. The new sending nations, the average is less than 8 years. Okay? The global average then is 15 years. Okay? You talk to Patrick and the guys at Send, and the young people that are going out now, their definition of career is 3 to 4 years. Okay? Those of you that are managers, you know, we're really happy when somebody understands their job and is effective in their job after, what, 6 months to a year? You put these people in a cross-cultural setting, you put them in a new language setting, you put them in a international organization and all the things they have to learn, that 3 to 5 years, they're not yet effective, okay? 5,000 missionaries from the traditional sending nations leave every year, okay? 5,000 come back. 50% of the missionaries from the new sending nations, that includes the Philippines, Latin America, and by the way, Korea, they're doing brilliant, okay? They're sending people out. 50% of them leave every year due to lack of funds. The biggest problem with Latin American missionaries is they're going overseas. The church is, yes, go ye into all the world. 3 years later, there's a new flavor of the month, and another missionary goes out, and the people that are there are forgotten. We see it in what I do. We see it a lot. We see a lot of missionaries stuck in Latin America or in Europe. Spanish Latinos in Spain and Portugal stuck there because they don't have the funds to go back. They have none whatsoever. 10% leave due to what we call non-preventable reasons: health, retirement, aging parents. We often have the responsibility. You know, it's a biblical responsibility to take care of our parents. My Auntie Muriel was overseas in Jamaica, and she came back to take care of her parents. She took a biblical responsibility. We don't call that we don't call that a preventable reason. We call that a biblical responsibility. So we take that into account. Okay? 90% of all missionaries leave for what we call preventable reasons. What are some of those preventable reasons? We're going to park here for a little bit. You know what? We're human. You're human. Pastor John's human. Just ask his wife. I'm human. Ask my son. We missionaries are human. You know what? Do you see you up there? I see me up there. There's some unique things up there for a missionary. Support raising. third culture kids raising your child in a cross-cultural environment? Language learning? By the way, language learning. You don't have to go overseas to learn language. You could learn Somali here in London, Ontario. But you know what? We get discouraged. We have conflicts with our leaders. We suffer burnout. We have health issues. We get sleeplessness. We get so busy we forget to spend time with God. We need rest. We have team conflict issues. We get lonely. We get frustrated. We deal with HIV and AIDS. We deal with burnout. We deal with addictions. We deal with pornography. You know what? If you guys have faced it here in this church, we've faced it on the field. Okay? If you faced it personally, we faced it on the field. If you faced it as a family, we faced it on the field. If you faced it professionally, we faced it on the field as well. We are like you. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay? There's a group of professionals that come alongside to reduce the attrition rate. The calling of these professionals is to love those that you've sent out, to encourage them. From the day Patrick recruits them and you as a church send them out, okay? Including, by the way, Jamie, you know? Because start once, she's gone once, she's gone twice. She'll go again. And we want to make sure that she stays there from recruitment to retirement and is most effective that the Lord that she can be on the field for however long she goes out for, to come alongside. Started out single. You know, I was a single guy overseas, having a great time. You know, I had issues that I faced as a single gentleman. Then I got married. Okay? Now I'm raising a child. You guys know what that's like. You've raised children, been married, you got kids that are getting married. You know what the struggles are facing like. I never thought of the issues I'd be facing as a married person when I first went out as a, you know, short-term worker. Never thought I was going to get married. So these are the issues. The reality is, we have to turn around this trend of people that we're losing and the people that are coming off the mission field. Why? Because I want to have that world reached by the 9.3 years. Instead of, if you're an optimist, we can do it in the 9.3 years. If you're a pessimist and you look at the numbers and you run the numbers through you by your actuarial wife, it comes out to be 357 odd years. Not going to be around. Not planning on hanging around. Do I believe that the commandment of Christ that every person will hear? Yes. But what does that mean? That means I've got to be active. I've got to be a part of it. I've got to be doing something. And so do you. And me. How is it done? How is it done? It's done through prayer. Okay? How can you pray for the missionary on the field? You can pray for the missionary on the field, and you can be the most effective person for praying for that missionary on the field, because if you've struggled with it, intercede on behalf of somebody else and pray for them. I got stumped into something. We had a gentleman come from one of our ministries, Arabic ministries, and he told us about the situation in Syria. It's devastating. I don't know how to pray for Syria. Good grief. I'm not Arabic. I'm not Syrian. I live in a very safe country. I don't know what to do. I claim ignorance, 100%. And he stood up and he said, look, guys, it's a disaster there. Jordan, a neighboring state, okay, a neighboring country to Syria, has 1.7 million, that's with an M, people in a refugee camp. 70,000 of those 1.7 million are kids under the age of 10 who've got to go to school. Okay? Population of Canada is 30-something million. Okay? That is like having from the United States, okay, that's like having close to 10 million people walk across the border right now, and it's cold outside, and it's going to start snowing in 3 weeks' time. And they're all living in tents. By the way, I still can't relate. He flipped up a picture of a child. 3.5 years old. Little boy. I went home, opened the door, and somebody went, "Puppy!" And I went, "Oh my goodness. What would I do if I was in a Syrian refugee camp and it was about to start snowing and I've got a little kid and everything that I own I carried out on my back and my wife's back? What would I do?" But it was what the Arabic guy had said to us, is he said, "You know what? We in the church in the Arab world, we started praying like children. Because it was a little boy who stood up and said, 'God, stop the hurting. Stop the people fighting.'" The Arab church believes that because of the prayer of children, the bombing didn't take place that the world wanted on Syria. I don't want to get involved in the politics. I'm not there. He challenged me. And he said, "Are you willing to pray like a child?" I looked at my son and I started praying with my wife and my son, "Lord, there's a 4-year-old boy out there. There's a parent out there. Feed them, clothe them, keep them warm." That's what I was asked to do. You are the prayer warriors of the church. I sat with a group of people that meet in a little room over there. John will remember my prayer because he laughed. The musicians won't be too happy about my prayer if it comes true. Neither will the sound people, because I said, "Lord, may this group be so big that the musicians have to meet in there because there's so many people sitting in here. We want to turn that negativity around of all the missionaries that are leaving, spin it around, and be effective. Show up when you go out on that prayer walk in November." Okay? Because the task is impossible. But Christ gave us an example that actually, the more I look into it, I've studied this example now for, I think, about 6 months. I can't get on to another place in the Bible. It's like, how do I keep opening this up? A little boy came with everything he had. Everything he had. He was probably in the morning studying the Torah under a rabbi. His parents were probably in a field somewhere. Grandma came and said, "Jonathan, take this 2 loaves, fishes, and take it to your parents. They're in the jungle, they're in the field with your father, with your uncle, bringing in the harvest." Little boy takes off. He's done this before. He's done this probably all harvest season. He's probably done it every day of his life. Gets off there, he gets distracted. There's a big crowd hanging around a guy, a new teacher, a new word. Gets distracted. Field, big group of people, doesn't happen. It's the Amazing Race. It's the big distraction. It's the Western Fair. It's whatever it is. He's distracted. He walks in, he's there. He sees it. The people hear that there's, hey, you know, the teacher is saying, is there food? The people are hungry. It's late in the evening. Remember, he's on the way to feed somebody, feed his family. He comes up and he offers everything that he has. Everything that he has. Was he going to get in trouble? Oh, yeah. That was supper for his family. Mommy and daddy know about it? We don't know. I've looked at this story so many different times in so many different ways. The boy gave what he had. Was it all his? Don't know. He gave it to a teacher who stood before the crowd and said, Father, this is what I have. I break it. I give it to you. You, Lord, multiply what I have. Then what did he do? He handed it on to a group of people. He handed it on to his disciples. So, John, you're an optimist. Will that feed this congregation to satisfy? Don't answer. Good question. Good question. Do we have that kind of faith? But you see, the thing is John didn't have to do anything. John had to take that in faith. I have to take what I've been given and has been broken to me in faith. I'm asking you to do the same thing. God's handed you experiences, struggles, conflicts, victories. In what? Probably in an area here somewhere. I'm asking you in faith. I've broken a bread for you, and I hope you remember this. Okay? God has given you something. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The experiences of life. Some gray hair. I'm going gray. To pass that knowledge on to others. To pass that healing on to others. To walk with those who are struggling. To do what? To pray. Your church and missions committee has put together a wonderful brochure. There's single ladies here, some young married couples, there's retired people, there's a 41-year-old married man with a 3.5-year-old who has adenoid problems and one day can hear, can get a cold, and can go stump deaf. If you've been in that experience, you know what I'm going through. If you've come to the end of your career, you know what it's like for some of these families, for some of these older couples to adjust, to go through having been busy to resting. If you hear about medical issues, if you don't know, but you've struggled with something, come before the Lord. Break the bread. Plead before the Father. And say, Lord, multiply this. You know what the little boy probably came back with, remember? A couple of loaves, a couple of fish. How many baskets were left over? 12. Hey, Pops. Hey, Grandma, you know the three... The 2 loaves, 3 fishes?
Oh, I've got a basket full of them now.
You ever thought of that? Like, what would the grandma do? What would the father do? What would I do? But you know what? It wasn't the boy. It was the boy doing what he had done. He was just taking what he had, gave it. It was Christ breaking and blessing and praying and say, Lord, take this and multiply it. When you guys pray before the Lord, you don't need to know who the missionary is. I am a result of somebody who held me as a baby, probably no bigger than little Caleb back there. And I met them 20 odd, it was more than that, years later, after having gone through something. And they had prayed for me. They had didn't know who I was, didn't remember who I was. We put the things together and they remembered who I was. I was going through a very dark time. Please pray for your missionaries. Please pray for the young kids. Why? Because when we unite together in prayer, then the blessings are multiplied. And they go out and out and out. The worship team's going to come up and sing a song that really, for me, sums it up. The missionaries that go out and do what they do, it's because of the amazing grace that God has given. It's because they were once lost and have been found. It's because of our wounds that we're able to walk alongside other people and to be with other people and to pray with other people and to witness to other people. It's because of amazing grace, okay, that the missionaries are staying on the field. In spite of us and all those things that cause us to come back, Christ is being revealed to people's hearts. It is because of amazing grace that London is sending people out, that London is turning to Christ, and that we have so many churches. Pray, because of the amazing grace, that that light still goes out. Because you know what? Fourth generation missionary. It was because people broke bread with a fellow missionary many generations ago, 4 generations ago, that I can stand up and say it's because of amazing grace that I can break bread with you and see the impact and the bread multiplying overseas. Thank you on behalf of the missionaries that we broke bread together because of the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.